This podcast is brought to you by Raycon. When the world gets too loud, create your own soundtrack with Raycon wireless earbuds. Raycons have a 32-hour battery life, start at half the price of other premium audio brands, and come with a 45-day happiness guarantee. Get 15% off at buyraycon.com/Howie. buyraycon.com/Howie. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
We're in the middle of a pandemic, which, by the way, we would have made progress on had the former president actually addressed the pandemic and not suggested people inject bleach.
Shots fired.
You are completely ignoring the science on natural immunity. So's Fauci. So's the whole group. You're just ignoring it because you want submission. You want everybody just to submit to your will, do as you're told.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
2,500 pages. If you take a look at $3.5 trillion price tag and you do the math, that's $1.4 billion for every page of this bill.
This is the end result of all the bright lights and the comp trips, of all the champagne and free hotel suites. It's all been arranged just for us to get your money.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. And we're taking calls with Dr. Matt, the vet, this hour. If you want to get on board and you have an animal question about your pets, mostly the standard four-legged kind are always appreciated.
Want to throw out a snake question? I'm willing.
A snake question. Do you get a lot of snake questions?
No, thankfully, because I don't know very much about snakes.
Well, so if anybody has any questions, we're willing to take them and give you the best advice that that Dr. Matt can. I have no advice on any animals. I'm not an expert. But before we do that, I do want to say our friends wanted to get us some information here out to the audience about the referendums that we would like not to appear on the ballot, the TCI and the voter ID. We want to get those struck down. So if you want to help out and find out where to sign the petitions, there's two different websites you can go to. One is massvoterid.com. That's massvoterid.com. And the other one is stoptcitax.com. That's stoptcitax.com. So visit those. Find out where you can sign those petitions and really help out your fellow Massachusetts residents. And 844-500-4242, there's a few things I'd like to ask you about, Dr. Matt. One is last week we had a story talking about some local zoos. I believe the Franklin Park Zoo was one of them, and the Stoneham Zoo was another. They're starting to vaccinate their animals against COVID-19, particularly any big cats and definitely any
I think
primates.
The primates too. And so the primate probably can take the regular human vaccine. I don't know why they couldn't. They also do test all these things on animals. Generally, animal vaccines are anywhere between 5 and 15 years ahead of human vaccines. In fact, up until the new coronavirus vaccine came out, I used to tell cat owners that they really had the most advanced vaccine, because they did. The primates, I'm sure, can take the human corona vaccine. I don't know what they give the big cats. I mean, they can make a coronavirus vaccine simply for cats. It's not that, you know.
I mean, is that something that the regular person should be concerned over with their own pet?
Well, I definitely have had people ask me that question, and there is a test for canine coronavirus, respiratory coronavirus, so we can send that off. They usually want a good reason for it, so then, you know, we just can't test them. You know, someone can't come in and we'll say, hey, because the client really wanted to know. They want to reserve the reagents for the test for animals that really need it, but they definitely have it. I don't know if the science has changed over the last few weeks, but as of a few weeks ago, they considered animals to be what are called dead-end hosts, which means they can get it, but they're unlikely to transmit it.
Okay, interesting. Well, we've got some calls already that have some questions for you. Let's go to them, 844-500-4242. Mary, you're next with Dr. Matt, the vet, on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Mary.
Yes, hi. I have two cats. One is 8, one is 16. they use the same litter box.
Yep.
And they're peeing an awful lot lately.
Yeah. Well, you know, the kind of the four, I call it the four horsemen of the feline apocalypse are, is diabetes, kidney disease, thyroid disease, and cancer. And all of them have differences in cats either drinking or eating. They eat more, they eat less, they drink more, they drink less. But cats that are, I like to say, if your litter box looks like the Bahamas from the air, it's time to bring your cat into the veterinarian and have them checked for either diabetes or kidney disease. Kidney disease in a 16-year-old cat is very, very common.
Have you had them checked at all, Mary?
No.
All right. Yeah, that's...
Time to go.
Time to go, exactly. Thanks very much for the call. Dave, you're next with Dr. Matt on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Hello, Dr. Matt. Hi, Dave. I have a cat. She is 13 years old. She's a domestic medium hair. She's in good health. A few days ago, I noticed these very small bumps on her back, behind her neck.
Okay.
And I haven't noticed those before. And they almost, I looked at them, and they're very small, and maybe 1 millimeter across, little buttons or something.
Yeah.
And they don't look like ticks.
Right. Are they white or black, or what's, and are they raised or not raised?
They are slightly raised, because you can feel them when you pet her, and they seem to be like a kind of a brown or a red brown.
Yeah.
But they don't look like blood. So I don't know if they're scabs or not.
Right. You know, you certainly can bring them to the veterinarian at any time and have them take a look. I mean, veterinarians with any experience have pretty good recognition protocol here and can sort of say, okay, I think this is this or this is that. Cysts can do this, small benign tumors, but even the most malignant tumor starts as a small benign looking thing and then just keeps going. Malignancy and benignness is a behavioral trait of whatever lump your cat gets. At 13, you know, for a 3-year-old cat, lumps, the chances of it being cancer are extremely low. It's at the bottom of what we call the rule out list. And at 13, it's going up a little bit higher. If they haven't changed very much or if it doesn't bother the cat, well, chances are it's probably not anything to get too worked up about.
Thanks very much for the call, Dave. 844-500-4242. Also reading a lot about animal shelters getting overcrowded now. Why is that?
Well, you know, we've had a number of natural disasters.
Right.
I have to say, the shelters in this area are so spectacular. There's really not that big a stray animal problem in the Northeast anymore. And it's because shelters are really good at getting them adopted and people are really good at adopting shelter animals. So that's a terrific thing. The problem is now you have to start to import them. I very rarely, very rarely see a native shelter animal. It's almost always from Mississippi or mine is from Georgia.
Right.
And my dog is from Georgia. And even Afghanistan, we've seen Lebanon.
Mm.
And so they really will import them, bring them from almost
anywhere.
That
was never an option for me when I was a kid to go
the
outside
Syrian.
Of the shelter. Yeah, never. Well, I could never, you know, my... Puppy mills. We didn't know about puppy mills when I was a kid. But you know, any pet we got was from a friend, or you know, it just showed up one day, or it was from the shelter. So.
Yeah, there was some informal network of pet suppliers,
and they were the best cats.
Oh, absolutely!
They were the greatest cats. Jim, you're next on the Howie Carr Show with Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Taylor and Dr. Matt. Thank you for taking my call. My question is: can cats live to be 20 years old or older?
I have a 20-year-old cat, so I would say yes. Figaro the cat is 20-plus.
Still going, huh?
Doing great.
Yep. Wow.
Yep.
What's the secret to the long life?
I have no idea. He's just always been a healthy cat. You know, I always say it about people is that when they interview those centenarians, right, they never say, boy, I had that quadruple bypass when I was 40, and that really did the trick, you know? They've been healthy their whole life.
Right.
And healthy cats are healthy their whole life, too.
Yeah.
My cat has a little kidney disease at 20, but other than that, it's doing fine.
Yeah. Indoor cat or?
No. Strangely enough, he is now an indoor cat at 20, but for his entire life, he's been an outdoor cat, which is a real testament. That filters out the cats that aren't so bright, because for when you're outside, sometimes it's one strike and you're out. You know?
Do you feel that that's more beneficial for them being an outdoor cat? They get more activity.
You know, boy, it's such a, there's positives and negatives on both sides. And It certainly
depends,
we know
if you
that
have any red-tailed having hawks your cat in the area, right?
Having your cat outside shortens its life. That's for sure, and it certainly shortens the life of the rodents and the small birds and stuff in your yard too. So that's the downside. But the upside is almost virtually all the cats with severe behavioral problems are indoor cats. I mean, so I got to think there's a little bit of a boredom issue there.
Yeah. Deb, you're next on the Howie Carr Show with Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Deb.
Hi, how are you today? I have a cat that I got as a kitten, and he's now, I guess he's 16 months old. They told me he was a Maine Coon cat.
Right.
He looks a bit like a Maine Coon cat.
Yes.
But he has some unusual markings where the soles of his feet are black.
Yeah.
And the rest of him is kind of a buff tiger.
Yeah.
Someone suggested he could be a black-footed African cat or something related. He was I got him at a shelter, and they said they had gotten him from Georgia.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if there's any DNA testing for cats yet. There definitely is for
dogs.
Oh,
there is.
Yeah, so I would do DNA testing because I think the cats are so highly likely to be some cross of some cats. And, you know, what I usually say of dogs is people want it to be, you know, a Rhodesian Ridgeback French Bulldog cross. But it's the more common dogs that have the more common crosses. So, you know, Labrador, Staffordshire Terrier, or a Pit Bull, or a German Shepherd, those are the highest degree of crosses by far.
I think I saw a documentary on the black-footed cat one time. It's a very small spotted cat, obviously, in Africa, and it's the smallest wild cat living in Africa. But it's also, I believe, the most lethal cat pound for pound in the world.
All right. So let's hope you don't have an African spotted cat.
it gets more rodent kills.
My children
than
have gone missing.
Thanks very much for the call, Deb. A lot of cat calls today.
Yeah, no kidding. Which makes
cat
now
calls.
I want to do my Maine Coon cat story. You know, so
you have a story?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
We'll get to it on the other side.
Very good.
844-500-4242. Dr. Matt is in the house. How can people get a hold of you? Where are you located?
People can call me at the Ipswich Animal Hospital at 978-948-8189.
All right, more of your calls with Dr. Matt, the vet, here on the Howie Carr Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Want more Howie? Click the Howie Cam on HowieCarshow.com.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
The Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Dr. Matt is in the house here on the Howie Carr Show. We've got to do our poll question, though. Do what I did, what Howie did, what Grace did. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Heart Chews today at superbeatsradio.com/Howie. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie. To get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase two, superbeatsradio.com/Howie. Matt, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Would you have gotten the shot if you had known you had natural immunity?
No.
90% say no.
Yep. It just makes sense, I think. Anyway, we're not here to talk about vaccines for people anyway, but we've got Dr. Matt. Again, how do people get in touch with you? Where are you located?
Yeah, people can call me at the Ipswich Animal Hospital, and that number is 978-948-8189.
And you said you had a Maine Coon story. Did you want to
share
that?
My Maine Coon cat story is, I always preface this by saying I don't like to pick on my clients, and then I go ahead and pick on my clients. So I had a lovely woman brought in her little orange tabby cat and said, hey, and during the exam, I looked at the intake sheet and it said Maine Coon cat. And normally I don't care. I'm not there to determine what breed it is. I'm there to make sure your cat is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why this was a little bit of a burn in my saddle. So at the end of the exam, I said to the client, I said, how do you know this is a Maine Coon cat? And she chirped up very cheerfully. She said, I bought it in Maine.
Naturally.
Where you get all Maine Coon cats.
Now, I know dogs, it makes a bit of a difference what breed it is. You know, there's different characteristics, different health histories. cats? Do you come across that much?
Yeah, amongst purebreds, there definitely is. Mm-hmm. So like Siamese cats have their own specific form of heart disease. And so there are breed-specific diseases, and you should be aware of them. I mean, Burmese cats and Himalayans have breathing problems because their face is pushed in. So yeah, there's absolutely breed-specific. I will, however, say that the vast, vast majority of cats are either a domestic short hair or a domestic long hair, which is a nice term for a mutt. You know?
Tabby or a calico.
Exactly, and which is perfectly, you know, which is probably healthier.
That's what we had, shelter cats, all tabbies, all calicos.
There you go.
All right, Steve, you're up next with Dr. Matt here on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Dr. Matt, how you doing today?
Hi, Steve.
Hey, I have a Feist.
Yes.
Dachshund mix, and I was eating supper tonight. And he ate half of my teriyaki stick.
Oh, nice! It depends on how much they chew it up, but that can be pretty dangerous. I typically don't want to make them vomit it, but it can be dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, is there anything I should keep an eye out for?
Yeah,
the stick.
Here's what I would do. I would say you certainly can bring them to your veterinarian. You know, if they see Saturday hours, you can, or the emergency clinic. I will, however, say that if they chewed up the stick a whole lot, they may pass it. What you obviously want to look for is lack of appetite or vomiting or diarrhea. Those are real tip-offs that the stick has caused a problem.
Okay.
All right, thanks for the call, Steve. Thank you very much. Kevin, you're next on the Howie Carr Show with Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, Dr. Matt, how you doing?
Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
Good. Hey, I have two giant schnauzers.
Mm-hmm.
They're brothers. They're almost 6 years old.
Yeah.
And one of the problems is one of them constantly get ear infections.
Yeah.
Now, we never had the ears cropped on these two dogs.
Right.
We had other schnauzers, and the ears are cropped.
Yeah.
Never, ever had ear problems. There's one particular dog constantly getting ear infections.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know that cropping the ear has that much to do whether dogs get ear infections or not. I would say that I think it's important to do a couple of things. One is to ensure that your dog doesn't have any allergies. Because quite often they may have an underlying allergy. I think almost all ear infections are one of two things. There's an underlying allergy or there's moisture that can't get out of the ears. So I would make sure the ears get examined for hair in the ears to make sure that there isn't an underlying allergy. And then make sure that you find out exactly what's causing this ear infection. There can be fungal infections or bacterial infections, and then make sure that gets treated. And lastly, have a very itchy trigger finger about getting these things seen and getting them treated. What I tell my clients is, especially with skin problems, the people who treat the least are the people who treat most aggressively because they never have to get really bad.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much for the call. Carol, very quickly, Carol, go ahead. You're on with Dr. Matt.
Yes. Hello, Dr. Matt.
Hi, Carol.
I have a small poodle cross.
Yep.
I've been away all summer and did not know she was doing this, and my husband mentioned they did it. She'll be walking along. She'll leave her tail in the air, spread her front feet out, and stretch.
Yeah.
Almost like she's in pain.
Sure.
But I've touched it. There's no pain, and then she just goes along her way.
Yeah.
But she did it three times today.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if I'm ignoring something or if it warrants an x-ray or what.
Sure. How old is your poodle?
She's about four.
Okay. So if she's otherwise perfectly active, then I agree with you. Probably it's not as likely that it's pain, but not impossible. So I certainly would have your veterinarian take a look at it, get the spine examined, and an x-ray isn't terribly expensive. I think it's reasonable to do.
All right. Thanks, Carol. We'll be right back with Dr. Matt. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Howie Carr Show.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, 844-500-4242. Get on the lines if you have a question about your pet for Dr. Matt, the vet. Dr. Matt, where can people get a hold of you? How can they reach you?
Yeah, people can call me at the Ipswich Animal Hospital, which is at 978-948-8189.
And it's fall now. should people be doing anything special for the pets? Is this a special time of year, vaccinations or anything like that?
Yeah, you know, this is, first of all, this is one of the main times for tick bites transmitting Lyme disease.
Right.
So I am a huge, huge fan of the Lyme vaccine. There's no mandate, but I am a very big fan of it. Lyme disease is a little bit different than COVID in that a dog can get Lyme disease from a tick, or a person can get Lyme disease from a tick, but you'll never give it to anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but still, the vaccine is very, very good. And so that's kind of a big deal this time of year. And people say, well, I don't need to use heartworm preventive anymore because it's getting a little colder. And that's one of my sort of pet peeves. I really want people to use heartworm preventive right through the end of fall, which to me is after Thanksgiving.
Right, right. And stay away from the tall grass if you can. Any place where ticks are known to be.
Right. And I always remind people it's called the deer tick because it's the tick of the white-footed mouse. So we call it the deer tick. I mean, but that should tell you where the tick can be. It can be right outside your door. It can be by your fence, stone wall, garden, compost heap, where mice are.
What are some early signs of Lyme disease that people should be looking out for?
You know, it comes on very quickly. So Lyme isn't terribly subtle. We certainly do have cases that it's hard to spot. It's called a mimicking disease, so it can look like a lot of other diseases. But the big ones for me are fever, lethargy, and lameness. Pick two of them, and I'm testing them for Lyme disease.
Right. Yeah. All right, we've got full phone lines once again. Let's go to 844-500-4242. Maureen, you're next with Dr. Matt here on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Maureen.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I had a question. I have a dog and a cat, and the question is about the outdoor cat.
Yep.
He likes to go along with our walks every day.
Yeah.
And I didn't know why he chooses to do that and if it's unusual.
It is unusual, and I don't know why either. I had a cat years ago that used to do it perfectly okay, and he likes to be with you, which is not all cats love to be with their dog or their human, but this cat does. So count your blessings.
We had a cat one time. Thanks for the call, Maureen. That we had moved out of the house because we had a dog and the cat was getting too stressed out.
Yeah.
The other cat was able to deal with the dog just fine. So this other cat became an outdoor cat. And whenever we took the dog for a walk, even though it hated the dog, it would follow along.
It liked the walk.
It'd take the walk with us, kind of explore the neighborhood. And then the cat, as cats are wont to do, adopted a different family.
Right. I've had my own cat do that.
Went for walks with their dog. It was the funniest thing. We still see him around sometimes. 844-500-4242. John, you're next on the Howie Carr Show with Dr. Matt. Go ahead, John.
Good evening. Good evening to you, Doctor.
Hi, John.
This is a weird one. An orange tabby cat, about 8 years old. Recently.
It's a Maine Coon.
No, it's an orange tabby. Okay. Not nearly enough fur. This crazy cat has recently gotten into the powdered chalk my wife uses on her Nautilus machine.
Okay.
And I had a white cat. So I'm assuming he groomed himself at least some. So anything to watch out for?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. You know, this chalk is something called a fine particulate. My mom's a toxicologist, and she actually did a lot of research on small particulate problems. Mm. And big particles, if you think about even with corona, if you are breathing in, what you hope that the particle that's attached, that the virus is attached to, gets stuck in your mucus of your sinuses. That gives you a little time to develop an immunity to it. But very small particles tend to just follow the airflow right down deep into the lungs. I think also chalk and stuff sometimes can have, I don't know if it has asbestos in it, but you should be careful of that. So I actually would look for respiratory signs in your cat. I would absolutely want to keep them out, but chalk can get very, very deep down into their lungs and people's lungs too. I'm always wondering why these runners run through these, you know, smoke bombs and stuff like that. I wonder what they're inhaling. So,
yeah, keep the chalk tightly locked is my advice. That's the first one for me.
Yeah, no, I've never heard that one.
844-500-4242. Thanks for the call, John. Chad, go ahead, Chad.
Chad. Yep. I've got a quick question for you. We had a problem with worms, roundworms, and such.
Yep.
And I've been doing a lot of research trying to figure out how I could you know, best eliminate them from my yard.
Your dog or your cat? Your dog?
It's a dog, Australian Shepherd.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I think time will do that. What I would advise is to use one of the good heartworm preventives. Most of the newer heartworm preventives have something in it to also prevent roundworms. Hookworms and whipworms are a little bit different because they can become drug resistant and they're harder to get rid of. But roundworms usually will die out within a few years. So if you really want to lock down, I would put them on year-round heartworm preventive for 2 or 3 years, and then you should be okay.
Thanks very much for the call, Chad. Jim, you're next on the Howie Carr Show with Dr. Matt the Vet. Go ahead, Jim.
Yes, hello, doctor. How are you? My mother's 13-year-old cat was recently diagnosed with kidney disease.
Yeah.
She stopped eating for quite a while. She was given a medication to put on her inner ear, alternating ears one day to the next.
Okay, as an appetite stimulant. So yep. As an appetite stimulant?
For a period of time, but she's stopped again, and she's due for an ultrasound this week. I think it's time to put the cat down, but yeah. I don't know if I dare say that to my mother.
Sure. Chronic kidney disease is a difficult one because cats go through a number of phases. If it's early kidney disease, there's really quite a lot of things that can be done. But as you advance down the road, they do start to get sicker and sicker. They can become anemic. They can become anorexic, all those things. And they can, you know, people describe themselves when people have kidney failure, severe kidney disease, they describe themselves as feeling lousy all the time. I got to think a cat does too. I will tell you, however, there is lots and lots of things that can be done. You have to decide whether it should be done. Luckily, with our pets generally, we get to make our own clinical decisions.
Do they do cat kidney transplants?
They do. You have to adopt. You have to adopt the donor, though.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes. So
two for one.
You didn't believe I was. There was going to be a no on that one, but they do it. Yes, they do.
Wow. All right, Jim. There you go. There's another option for you, Carol. You're next on the Howie Carr Show with Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Carol.
Hi. Excuse me. Hi. I have a dog and a cat, but I'll ask you about my cat. And I kind of already know, because I've always had cats, and it's really sad because I lost my 18-year-old cat. He had an eye ulcer.
Sure.
What the hell? All of a sudden, an eye ulcer? Anyway, he died. It went through the eye. I had to put him to sleep. But Lily Rose, since then, she meows. She'll come in. She's an indoor cat.
Yeah.
But she comes from the porch, and she goes, yeah, like a nasty ass meow.
Yep.
I'm like, what? Seriously?
What's her name?
Come to my bed.
Lily Rose. Come on,
Lily Rose.
Catch up.
Lily Rose. Yep. And then she would come to my bed, and now she doesn't even do that. And I'm like,
yeah.
What's up? And
how old is she?
And she's probably like 17.
Yeah, you
and
know.
She eats well.
Yeah.
I give her good food.
Yeah.
I do things. I can do more now because I'm older and I don't have kids around.
Sure. I wish I had a good answer. I think because my cat does it too, my 20-year-old. It is frustrating. I think part of it's dementia in some of these cats. I think part of it also is they become a little bit hearing impaired. And as they're just as with people, when you start to sensory deprive them, the chances of them getting dementia go up. And I think that's a problem. I think some people could use maybe an anti-anxiety drug or something like that. But I haven't found anything that works consistently.
All right, Carol, thanks for the call. Good luck. Mark, you're next on the Howie Carr Show with Dr. Matt the Vet. Go ahead, Mark.
Hello, Dr. Matt.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, hi. I have a 10-year-old black lab. Tail is losing most of his fur.
Yeah.
And then his other fur on his body is the blackness is going away, and it's more like a brownish color.
Yeah, okay.
In some areas.
Yeah. You definitely should have this checked out. Hormonal diseases are pretty common for causing hair loss, as is skin infections. And there's a number of different diseases that can cause it. Your vet can do blood work and even can do skin biopsies to try to track it down.
All right. Thanks for the call, Mark. Jack, you're next with Dr. Matt, the vet on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Jack.
Oh, hey, Matt. Thanks so much for taking my call. I have a 13-year-old lab, in February, he was diagnosed with adenocarcinoma of the anal gland. He had one side resected, and he did great until June.
Yep.
And the sinus opened back up.
Yeah.
He also has a history of a pinched vertebrae in his neck someplace that caused him to go lame.
Yep.
So the good news is the tumor is growing inward.
Right.
On digital exam. And he recently became completely lame 2.5 weeks ago, and we used to treat his right weakness with steroids.
Yeah.
So he's been on Rimadyl and Clavamox twice a day.
Okay.
And then we tapered him off the Rimadyl and tried the taper.
Yeah.
He bounced back 100%.
He's
walking like normal again. But now the sinus that had been healed over for a month is completely opened up and draining. Is it the steroids, you think?
Well, he didn't take steroids. Rimadyl is actually a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, and Clavamox is an antibiotic. But that's a good question, though. Is the anti-inflammatory having some sort of anti-tumor effect? There's definitely those drugs that do. Piroxicam is one. It's a non-steroidal, has been shown to have some anti-tumor activity. But I think at this point in time, you have to decide whether you want to just sort of resect as much as you can. Certainly, you want to keep them on. I would keep them on, especially a fiber supplement or something like that. So, because lots of these things can either prevent them from defecating or cause them to have pain while they defecate. So I think you have to make those sort of hard decisions at this point. You know, resect or don't resect again.
All right, Jack, thank you very much. We'll take one more before we go to the break, and that's you, John. Go ahead. You're next on the Howie Carr Show with Dr. Matt. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a white Persian, 16-plus years old. This is the second time over the last 3 or 4 years that he got urine problems.
Yeah.
And he couldn't go, and he went like 3 days without going, and then we took him to the hospital. And then they got some of it out. Now he's been on Clavamox for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He's still having trouble.
Yeah.
And I think that Clavamox may be interfering with his appetite.
Sure. That's by far the most common side effect of Clavamox is anorexia. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So urinary tract infections are much more common. True infections are more common as cats age. So young cats actually relatively infrequently get urinary tract infections, but this is not a young cat at 16. I think I would probably at this point go a little bit deeper into evaluating what's going on with the bladder. You know, there are bladder tumors, and so that can mimic a urinary tract infection, as can, you know, kidney infections can also be participating at this point. I think Clavamox in general is a really good drug for this, but if it's not working, you have to start reevaluating whether you have a resistant bacteria or you need to go in a different direction.
Thanks very much for the call, John. We'll take a break. Dr. Matt, how can folks get a hold of you? Where you're located?
Yeah, people can call us at the Ipswich Animal Hospital. We're right on Route 1, right at the Ipswich Trolley Line, and our number is 978-948-8189.
All right, thanks very much. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Howie Carr Show right here. We'll be right back.
Keep it here. The captain will be back after this.
This is the second time that you've laid hands on me.
When you're slapped, you'll take it and like it.
Howie Carr is back.
What's the name of this one?
Hey Bulldog.
Oh, very self-explanatory. Thanks very much, Matt. 844-500
appropriate
4242. We're here in studio with Dr. Matt. If you have any questions, we've got a couple of more minutes and we can take a few more calls. Dr. Matt, where can people get a hold of you?
People can call me at the Ipswich Animal Hospital, which is 978-948-8189.
Busy this time of year?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Lauren, you're next with Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Lauren.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I'm calling about aggression. My sister is a three-year-old dog who, in the last 2 months, has just been starting showing a lot of signs of aggression.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She used to have much more of a friendly and outgoing personality. And it started first with their then 6, now 8-month-old. But now she's had incidents with other dogs. She's had incidents with my brother-in-law. So I'm just not sure. Do you think this could be something medical? I recommended a trainer to her, but it just seems strange to me that she's lashing out at so many different types of stimulus, where it's people and dogs.
Yeah, I think either a trainer, I think an animal behaviorist can really help here, because someone needs to sit down and really find out what sort of triggers the dog to behave the way it does. I definitely think in almost every case that good dog training helps a dog, because it helps them sort of refocus. That dogs don't multitask very well, as people don't multitask very well. The Marty Becker book, From Fearful to Fear Free, can help. But I do think if you said, give me a choice between a trainer and a behaviorist, I would probably pick the behaviorist, because they're going to try to get at the root of the problem versus just training your dog.
Thanks very much for the call, Lauren. And Ray, you're going to wrap it up for us tonight. You're next with Dr. Matt on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah. I have a feral cat. I trapped her. I trapped her 2 years ago, and she was. My vet said that she was about a year old.
Sure.
And she's an inside cat now. This is the third time that she's got something called lungworm. Treated her. I got some stuff at Centrigard from my vet today. On the box, it doesn't say anything about lungworm.
Okay.
I called the phone number on the box, and the people who make it can't even tell me.
Well, they may be using something off-label. I don't know what's in Centrigard, but if your vet's giving it to you and you trust your veterinarian, I would go ahead and give it.
It says it's good for hookworm.
Right.
Tapeworm, it doesn't say anything.
Right, and so this may be something called an off-label use, where it's not labeled specifically. It hasn't gone through the FDA in order to get approved for this particular use. That doesn't mean it can't be used.
Like ivermectin, right?
Just like ivermectin.
Hydroxychloroquine. Thanks very much for the call, Ray, and thank you, Dr. Matt. One more time, your phone number, where can people get a hold of you?
Thank you, Taylor. You can reach me at the Ipswich Animal Hospital, 978-948-8189.
We'll be back Monday with Howie Carr from Florida. Have a great weekend, everybody.
To all the listeners who, like me, have an IRA or 401k, I have an urgent warning for you. Our federal debt is now more than $28 trillion. What the government